got me so down. But I picked myself back up and I started telling me, no, my God's not done making me a masterpiece. He's still working on me.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat with your host, Donna Mathewitz. And we are thrilled to have Donna on the phone with us today, as she is every month on KDWA hosting Grief Chat. And we're thrilled to hear what she has to say each month. And this is no exception. Donna, welcome to you. How have you been?
Thank you, Mo. I've been just fine. Enjoying the real summer that has come. We like it.
It really has come, hasn't it? And does that affect people in a different way? If you're grieving, does it make you want to stay inside more and be away from people? I mean, does that have an effect on grief?
You know, there's seasons that affect people. No matter, we might always think summer is a great time of year. Let's get outside and we can have the fresh air. We're not cooped up in the house. But for some, it reminds them of a certain part of that person's life who they've lost. And it's a sad time. I know I heard that some when spring came and fishing season opened, because there were some dads that said, this reminded me of how much I miss him, because we love getting out for the fishing opener. And we assume that everybody's on the same page as seasons change, especially in Minnesota when we get, you know, out of winter and into summer. But, it can be different for different folks. And, yeah, I do think the availability of daylight, of sunshine, longer days, making the nights not so long as winter, I think in all is probably good for people, for sure.
Absolutely. You mentioned, men and going out and fishing with dad or whatever. This is June we're talking. And, of course, Father's Day is coming out. And I know you wanted to talk about men's grief, because men and women grieve differently, yes?
Well, for sure. Yeah, there's different categories of people who tend to be kind of in the background. I think when we women are just, we are more able to speak and talk about it. And I think men aren't, generally speaking, some men better than others. But as a whole, I think men have a tough time with that. Whether it's the loss of their mom at whatever age, or, a sibling, or a child or a spouse, for sure. But, and of course, all those affect everyone at a different level, some deeper and broader than others. But, men, at least, I'll use my husband as an example. His generation, and even some certainly younger than him, they were kind of, the message was, if not verbal, it was made clear that big boys don't cry, and if you cry, you're a sissy, and stop being a crybaby, and all those mean things that can be said to a boy who was just expressing his feelings. But if you're told often enough that that's not appropriate because you're a guy, I guess you start to believe it. And I saw that play out with my own husband. When Tim died, he one time said, it's really a handicap to be a man right now. And it's just difficult in so many ways. And I just wanted to share some of those things, the aspects of men grieving, because they go through, they're different emotional beings to some degree. Men sometimes will show their grief and their pain, even through anger. I've got a quote here. I've got a few quotes from men that I wanted to share. This one, as he talked about being angry, he said, I'm not the person I used to be. I don't know. I'm impatient. I yell at the kids. And when my wife talks about Carrie, evidently his daughter, I blow up and usually walk out. I think if I didn't yell, I'd explode. Then I get mad at myself because they're not to blame for anything. Mm. So, but anger is a true, genuine emotion. But just like for any of us, whether you're a man or a woman, it's how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to let that anger out? And someone has talked about it like a balloon that is blowing up as full as it can be. And walking around this feeling like at any moment, one more thing, one more person says or does the wrong thing, and this is just going to explode, and this ugly anger is going to go everywhere. So I think for people to learn to let you know, just like when you have a balloon and you squeeze, you know, the plate, the opening where the air goes in, you squeeze a little bit at a time, you just let about out a little air at a time. I think we could use that same analogy as we think about how we deal with the anger, you know, and maybe it's not even always about grief. You know, we get angry about other things too, but how do we respectfully and in a way that can make it better and not worse, how do we let the air out of that balloon and not let it pop and explode? And I think that's a really good picture in my mind to think about how that might be for all of us as we deal with life in general.
Donna, grief is something that has stages that people go through, and I know that anger is one of the stages. Do you find that men have a harder time with that stage, or they get stuck in it more?
I don't know. I think they don't probably choose or always have the ability to know how to express what they're feeling. If they could even learn to talk it out, to be able to talk to the other people involved, the loved ones, or even, again, I think we women, we're fortunate, we're blessed, because we tend to have our girlfriends, especially just a couple that we really trust and who love us and only want the best for us and will listen. Guys, not so much. They might get together, but I tend to believe that their conversation rarely goes to a place where it might become uncomfortable or where they express real hard stuff or where a tear might even roll down someone's cheek. That generally makes them really uncomfortable. Now, you know, this our Gone Too Soon group, which is a support group just for parents who've lost children, I'm fortunate enough to see, you know, we have quite a few men that come to that. We have several couples that come together, and it warms my heart to see that, because I know the strain that a marriage is under with the loss of a child. So, you know, it's just important that they find a place, and if it's a small group, that's even all the better, because no one will become uncomfortable. You know, we have a box of Kleenex at every table, and they're meant for whoever needs them. And, you know, I really appreciate seeing a man show his emotions, because I know it's maybe the only place he gets to do that and not feel like he's being looked at and somebody wants to fix him.
Do you think we're getting better as a society at raising boys to show their feelings?
I sure hope so. I hope so. And I think so. You know, I've watched, you know, I have one grandson. You know, I know his mom and dad are careful, and we're careful what we've said. He cried a lot. He really did. So, I mean, he kind of cried over what we'd say is nothing, and it came down to, you know, and he's like 8 years old, and he's still crying over things that, and so we say, Ian, it's okay to cry, but really, this is not quite appropriate that you're losing it over this. You know, if you get hurt, if someone hurts your feelings, if you hear something sad, you know, try to help him realize, because he was, you know, it's happening to him in school, and that doesn't bode well to do it in front of other boys either. So, but I think, and my husband has said, he said if I ever hear a dad saying to their boy, don't cry, knock it off, or, you know, I'll give you something to cry about, you know, kind of those old adages. He says, I will just say, don't tell him that. Don't say that to him. It's okay if he cries. And if he has a chance, he'll tell him why he believes that and why he wished he had learned to cry when he was a boy. So, yeah, it's interesting how it all plays out.
Is the ability to cry, are you releasing something that maybe you need to get on to the next stage of grief also?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. You know, and you know, this is really interesting, Mo. I had heard that the chemical makeup of a tear from crying from grief and great inner pain is different than other kinds of tears. It's not the same as the tears from peeling an onion, for an example. And so I was telling my, and I say this when I speak in groups, I say this, and they said, you know, a while ago, I thought, you know, maybe I should really investigate that and make sure that's true. And so I did. I went on, you know, I got the information, and I was able to look at these slides that were done in a lab, and it showed a teardrop dried on a on a glass, and it was. It was different than the other kinds of tears represented in that study. Mm-hmm. The chemical makeup is different, and I think the tears of grief, whether it be from divorce or death or other things that can put us into a grief cycle, I think it comes from a different place in us, and that's why the chemical makeup is different. So, and I just believe, as a Christian, I believe God gives us those tears because he knows that it's cleansing. And I know everyone listening, I hope, at one time there has had at least one or two good cries. Notice we never say it was a bad cry.
Right.
It's always, I had a good cry. That alone says crying is good.
Mm-hmm.
Crying is good. It's okay.
And therapeutic.
And, it's and mm-hmm. such a release. You know, I can share a story. One of the things, you know, of course, with losing a child, you know, it's an intensely deep pain. And grief just comes in these waves. And sometimes you feel like this one's going to knock me over. And I remember it was one particular morning I was getting ready to go somewhere. And I had an appointment. I had to be somewhere. So I was up and almost ready. And all of a sudden, I don't know. I can't remember. Was it something I heard on the radio or was it a thought? I don't know. At that point in my grief, it didn't take, it was nothing special sometimes. It would just be this wave. And I remember I thought, this is not my time to have my good cry and have mascara running down my cheeks, and I've got to go. And so I was able to, again, swallow it one more time with that big lump in my throat. But I had been doing this long enough at that point that I said to myself, I will take care of this when I get back. So I was gone for a few hours. I came home that afternoon and hadn't really thought much about it. As I walked in the house, I was reminded of what I said I would do. And I didn't feel like it at the time, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to take control. I'm going to grab grief by the ears this time and say, I'm in control right now. And I'm going to grieve. I'm going to cry till I can't cry anymore, but it's on my terms and I have time now and it's okay. So I went downstairs to Tim's bedroom and I picked up his pillow, which still smelled like him. And of course, that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. You open a picture album, you mm-hmm. grab a piece of clothing. And I just cried. It broke me down and I cried until I couldn't anymore. And then I was good for whatever, a few days or something. I don't remember exactly, but the good cries always bring this amazing relief afterwards. You might be exhausted, but it's a good exhausted.
And that's something that you're saying men don't really either have the capacity to do or the opportunity to do.
Well, or they sometimes don't take the opportunity. They will, you know, they'll work more hours. They'll, you know, as I said, you do it in anger. They'll find other ways. So it's not that their grief isn't coming out, but I don't believe that there's a lot of men who use crying as a release mechanism as some women are able to do or choose to do. I mean, I think for women, you start crying, there's nothing you can do. It just comes, right? And I mean, I know women too who just, they say, I'm not really a crier. I don't really cry, which is fine. I don't know what that means. I'm not judging that they're doing it wrong. And they just say, I just don't cry. And who knows? Maybe they were raised in a house where no one showed emotion, where how you grew up has a huge influence on how you go forward and do life, unless you choose to make some positive changes if needed in how you were brought up to believe things that necessarily weren't the best for you. But there's just sometimes where children are taught that we don't show anger, we don't really even show a lot of happiness around here. We just don't show much emotion. And if you're, you know, the stoic Scandinavian people, you know, and tough Germans, which we have a lot of in our area, right? Again, not a lot of emotion.
Right, and you can get very stereotypical about that, but I do think there's something to it. I'm Irish, and the tears are always just beneath the surface.
Yeah, there just is mm-hmm. some truth in that, yeah.
So how can we help men grieve better?
I think you work to engage them in conversation, and just like for anyone, man or woman or child or whatever, don't be afraid to say the loved one's name. you know, be open and let them, even if they don't pick up on it, you at least maybe have planted a seed saying, hey, you can trust me. I'm not afraid to talk to you. And I think that's what men would say if they could. I'm looking here at this. I've got this article again. I'm going to read. To those trying to console, I say, stop searching for words. Put your arms around me. Don't be afraid. Remember, I'm no stranger to fear. I face the ultimate fear of a father who is helpless to protect his child. And I think that's a big part of it for men. They were supposed to be the protector, and something happened to their child. And that's a big deal. That's a huge thing for men. Listening to me with total awareness is a first step. You are opening the door for me to grieve. The second step is to walk through the door with me, helping hold me up with your touch, your arms about me, my shoulders, your hands in mine. If you can do that without discomfort, you may be able to help me and help yourself as well. And I think that's so true, because I think the person who takes that step of courage and reaches out to someone hurting, and maybe it's the guy who lost a child or his wife, maybe it's also the guy that's just being faced with a divorce that maybe he didn't want or he did, whichever, maybe it doesn't matter. But those folks also need someone to support them and not to ever speak the truth that there's a divorce that's about to happen here. I could really use somebody to talk to. So I think we just need to, you know, and if a man can do this for another man, all the better, I think, because, you know, just like women need women, men need men. And so it's just about taking that step out, that courage that it takes, because we're better, but we're still not great at treading into that water that we're not sure how it'll go. What if I make him angry? What if I make him cry and I say, so what? It's worth the risk, because you might be that one person that he needs in his life. So just do it.
Donna, such great advice. Tell us about your Gone Too Soon grief group. When is that, please?
Our Gone Too Soon group, as I said, is for our parents and grandparents. We've had some grandparents come as well. And that's on the first and third Wednesday of the month. And that's at 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the Community Ed Building. And our other group that we facilitate is the general grief group, which is primarily spousal loss, although we welcome people who've lost a parent or other losses too. And that meets on the fourth Thursday of each month at 6 o'clock at the same location.
Thank you so much. Donna Mathewitch, she's the host of Grief Chat, heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.